Around the beginning of 2010, I picked up a job working at a chain sandwich shop. From the start, my manager was offering me numerous shifts and would sometimes pay me cash to work longer. It was a little sketchy, but I wasn't planning on working there past the summer. Money was tight. I had just moved, and I took whatever I could get. Some guy had recently quit, so my main shift was the evening shift, which was closing up with Darren and Lacey. It was fine for the most part. I guess the guy before was the main dishwasher, so unless it was busy, I was back there getting caught up with all of the dishes while Darren made the sandwiches, and Lacey rang register. When it was dead, Lacey'd go out the back door and smoke while on the phone, and Darren would come help with the dishes or prep. Lacey was pretty straightforward, no BS, and wasn't there to make friends. As soon as her shift was over, she was out of there. Darren, on the other hand, lingered. Yeah, he was a little weird, socially awkward, and not the best hygiene. His long nails really freaked me out. I mean, I didn't mind at first. It helped the day go by, chit-chatting, even if you didn't have much in common. I tried to be friendly. Darren's thing was Twilight, the movie. He was a bit obsessive. It was practically his identity. He even had Twilight stickers all over his flip phone with some dangling heart charms. The second installment had just come out, and he wanted to talk about it, or relate situations or people to the movie, any chance he got. It started getting pretty annoying, and I'd try to steer the conversation to something else, but it always ended up back to Twilight. He even started coming in on his days off to hang out. I'd worked with Darren for going on a month or so, when my boss asked me if I could start opening instead. It was no problem, even sweetening the deal with some cash, so I wasn't too upset about it. She gave me a key to the front door and told me what to get started with in the morning. Later that night, Darren showed up as usual, worked a bit off the clock, which wasn't unusual for him. I'd casually mentioned that I was going to start opening the following morning, to which he offered to help since it was my first time opening. I'd said sure, and didn't think much of it. The next morning came around, my boyfriend dropped me off, and Darren was already waiting. He wasn't in uniform or anything, but I figured since it was his day off, he was just going to bounce after we opened. I unlocked the door and relocked it once we were inside. He started brewing the teas and flicked on the oven as I started restocking the sandwich area. Darren seemed a little off and began asking me if that was my boyfriend who'd dropped me off. I told him yes. I had already told him about how I was in a relationship and that we lived together. Being young and naive, I thought either he forgot or just didn't care. He seemed slightly irritated and began tapping his long nails on the counter while he stared at me. I tried to tune him out, but I was starting to feel uncomfortable. "What?" I'd asked. He just sighed and hopped up onto the counter behind me, swinging his legs back and forth while he stared at his closed phone. "You know my favorite character, Alice?" I just shrugged. I didn't know anything about the movie. "With your hair and all." He turned the back of his phone to show me the heart-shaped sticker of her face. "You kinda look like her." I was completely freaked out by this point, and I needed to get out of the locked shop, be at least seen by other people in the shopping center. I said something about needing a smoke and headed for the front door, my heart pounding, when my boss arrived. She looked startled as she stepped in from the back door. "What are you doing here?" she practically yelled. Darren took off, running past me out the unlocked front door. "What is he doing here?" she began to ask me. I tried to explain, when she cut me off and told me that he'd been fired weeks ago. I quit shortly after. It just gives me the creeps anytime I look back on that time. Maybe he was harmless. Or maybe, who knows. I'm just thankful my boss showed up when she did, and that I never saw that creep ever again.
It's been roughly 12 years since I've had any contact with my family. Growing up in rural Ohio, people occupied their time with church, family, and country. It was our identity. And after the incident, I've struggled to find my own identity. As a 16-year-old girl, it seemed wholesome at the time, seeing as I didn't have anything to compare it to. I hadn't really experienced city life. None of my family lived in the city. Unless on TV or passing through on our way to vacation or something, the city was an entirely different world. I was in high school when my father lost his job at the sheet metal factory when it shut down, and he began spending all his time online. The jobs dried up in our area, which enraged him and sent him spiraling down a rabbit hole. I'd assumed as comfort and explanation. Looking back, the isolation and anger really got to him and my mom, which pushed them to start prepping and looking for like-minded people. After connecting with local preppers, my dad started Camp Revelation, a militia group, deep in our 150 acres of woods that had been passed down through the family. It was there that we would train for Operation Armageddon. We would do military drills, eat MREs, and sleep in tents. It kind of started out as radical camping, but before long, people were always on edge, scheming up cryptic communication, and having new recruits patrolling the perimeter of camp with loaded machine guns at all times. On that fateful weekend, one of the original six, Mustang, had vouched for a new recruit and violated protocol by bringing him directly into camp before his assessment. After a brief argument between Mustang and my dad, things continued as planned. It quickly became apparent that the new recruit, now nicknamed Grunt, was familiar with military tactics and knew how to handle his gun, which gave him some leverage among the rest of camp, but didn't dissuade my father from keeping a watchful eye on him. It was on that Sunday night when my dad had me rostered to stand watch with the new recruit. Grunt, roughly in his mid-20s, was a man of few words, which didn't help pass the time. After numerous attempts at conversation, I left it alone. The campfire was now out of sight, our boot falls our only comfort among that dark night as we walked the perimeter. The absence of light amplified our footsteps, and every sound roared. I knew how the woods could mess with the mind, seeing things, hearing things, but I knew these woods, and they were uncomfortably silent that night. I tried to calm myself, but I couldn't escape the mounting feeling of dread in the air. I went to say something to Grunt when I heard his footsteps begin to divert from beside me and venture off to my right. My stomach sank. "Hey, you got something?" I asked shakily, my gloved hands gripping tighter to my gun. "Gotta take a leak," is all he replied. I relaxed for a moment, facing away from him, when I saw bright beams of light ripple from my right to my left, the light source coming from directly behind me. I turned, having to shield my eyes from the blinding light as it lit the whole immediate area. Grunt was nowhere in sight. I squinted, trying to determine the light source as I clutched my radio, trying to notify camp to no avail. The humming light rose above the tree line and darted to the west before disappearing. "Grunt!" I screamed, while chaotically trying to navigate my radio, scan the area, and maintain a defensive position while under a presumed attack. He was gone. My mind swirled with wild speculation, eventually landing on the paranoid. I thought perhaps I had confirmed the information that I had read on my father's forum. Word had quickly spread about infiltration, possibly the feds, among other divisions throughout the state. I sprinted back to camp, where I ripped open my father's tent and frantically tried to explain the turn of events. Upon informing him that Grunt was gone, my dad slung his machine gun over his shoulder and marched to Mustang's tent, kicking the side and screaming at him to come out. Others started to climb out of their tents as Mustang put his hands up and stood to his feet. "Where is he?" my dad screamed, aiming his gun at Mustang. The others soon followed, aiming their weapons as well. Panicking, I backed into the line, finishing the surrounded circle of others. My father continued. Mustang was struggling to reason with him. Soon, the bright light reappeared, sweeping a beam across the open camp. My dad shot his rifle up and discharged several warning rounds, which caused the light to make a sharp 90-degree turn over the tree line before disappearing again. He declared that we were under attack. Hysteria spread. The others clustered in groups before separating as wide-eyed individuals, pointing their weapons fearfully at each other, questioning what was happening. Was it a drone? Was the military after us? Was it something else? My father ordered a group to hogtie Mustang to the ground and stand watch over him until we could figure out what was happening and where Grunt had gone. With each passing sweep of the light, we cowered behind makeshift structures and unloaded rounds at the overhead object. My dad made a distress call over the radio as our camp's floodlights began to burst. Our bear-proof sack of supplies crashed out of the nearby tree. We began to run out of ammo as the light enveloped our camp with a blinding beam. I blacked out, only to wake up to some clutching their wounds, and the rest were standing over something in the center of camp. My father was off to the side, his gun laid strewn on the ground. I approached the group. Grunt was back, and he had been fatally shot. It's been roughly 12 years since I've had any contact with my family. I was still a minor when I was tried in court. Fortunately, I wasn't tried as an adult, even though maybe I should have been. I've moved to a city far away in an attempt to distance myself from that night. The more I see militia groups and current events, the harder it is to forget. I can't stop mulling over that night each time it's triggered to the forefront of my mind. Was it the government, or was it something else?